As you see from the front of the bulletin, listening guide here says, I want to lead like that. Well, when I went to Chicago, I had this all done. Elizabeth put it all together. Then, you know, driving to Chicago and back from Chicago, praise God, Kathy drove. I was holding on to the handle. But when you get away like that and you just listen, you know what I mean? So when I got back here, I looked at this message and I thought, well, this is a pretty good term paper. So I'm not going to do this message today. On the way out, there's a blue piece of paper back there. If you'd like to read my term paper and grade it and fill in the blanks, that's cool. If you look in the back of your listening guide, I added a cardstock piece of paper. It's called the Five, and that's going to be the message today, which happened, I don't know, I guess along I-70 somewhere. It was beautiful. Bob, we almost called you up and asked you if you could fly to Chicago to drive us back because our friend wasn't with us. But praise God. Praise God for Kathy. That's all I can say, man. Thank you, doll, for driving. Kayla Lucius got back from Africa and brought me this. Isn't that beautiful? Kayla, thank you. Where is she? I don't see her right now. She has shoes on today and everything. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. I love it. I'm going to treasure that the rest of my life. Thank you so much. This is beautiful. Oh, boy. The five. Five questions that I felt like the Lord was giving me, you know, over the last week that I think could change your perspective about life. I think it could change, they could change your perspective about your relationship with God. It could change your perspective about why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What does God have planned for me? I hope that these questions will do that for you today. A.W. Tozer said this, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Great statement. Great statement from a great man. So the first question of the five is this. How much of your life is consumed with God? Every day that you get the blessing of living here on earth, is your life consumed with God? And I think all this Christianity, all this stuff starts out with your relationship with God. John 1:12 says, yet all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave a right to become a child of God. So when you do that, that's how your life starts. You have to receive Christ as your Savior. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've been reading through this book, Stepping Up by Dennis Rainey, which is the study we're going to do on Wednesday night here, starting September 9th when we start back our G3 nights. And I found Dennis Rainey. How many people have heard Dennis Rainey? Heard of him? The guy's unbelievable. I mean, he's a great writer, great preacher, great speaker. He gave us testimony in his book. And he said this, my life was empty, purposeless. I was depressed and even thought about suicide, but in the end, I loved myself too much to do that. I sensed that I needed to step up to something, but what? Spiritually speaking, I had treated Jesus Christ like a spare tire, pulling him out of a trunk in an emergency and then putting him back in after the crisis was over. And then I added a little bit, Nickism, or pulling him out on Sundays. Despite my arrogance and emptiness, Dennis Rainey wrote, during the summer of 1968, between my sophomore and junior year, hey, we're about pretty much the same age, old Dennis and I, the hounds of heaven chased me down with his love, and I surrendered as completely as I knew how. Dennis writes, God used a man, Alan, to call me out of a self-centered existence into a relationship with Jesus Christ that enabled me to experience the rich designs that God had created me as a man. And I read to myself, and I'm supposed to say here today, we need some Alans here at CCF. We need some Alans who are going to pour into people. He said, Alan opened up the Bible and taught me out of the book of Romans. He showed me the scripture from God's love for me remained the same whether I loved him or not. The love of God demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ slowly turned my heart towards him. That's his testimony. Dennis wrote, I realized that Jesus Christ didn't come to be a spare tire. He didn't come to be a hitchhiker or even a passenger in the front seat. He came to be the driver, capital G, and master, capital M, of my life. And that summer, he wrote, I did a scary thing, a courageous thing. I peeled my fingers off of the steering wheel and relinquished total control of my life as him as Savior, Lord, and Redeemer of my life. The decision to trust Christ completely redirected my life and secured my eternal destiny. And before I go on this morning, I read you Dennis Rainey's testimony, and I feel like I'm supposed to ask, it's summer right now. It would be a scary or a courageous thing to today, August 2nd, 2015, to peel your fingers off of the steering wheel and ready to relinquish total control in your life. Anybody this morning want to do that? Anybody this morning man enough or woman enough to raise my hand and say, man, I need to take the hands off the steering wheel. I need to be consumed with Christ in my life. It's a beautiful thing. Question number two that I have for you that came along, maybe Route 68, I don't know. How much does your schedule represent God? Are you living your life based upon what you know to be true, or are you waffling around because you haven't come to grips with your doubts and determine what you believe? Are you majoring in the minors, things that in the end really don't matter? Or are you majoring in the majors? Does your schedule include prayer time, time for fellowship, time for the word, which is growing, time for serving, which means using your gifts, time for sharing or witnessing, mean go? I want to tell you about a man whose name was Pastor No. When I was at Christian Fellowship Church and I started there as a youth pastor in 1995, I'd say it was about 2002, I found out that there was a man on the other side of the church that was the maintenance man for the school. That he had a full-time job at that school cleaning up. And I met him and, you know, Pastor No, it's great to meet you. And he said, well, I'm a pastor. And I said, that's awesome. And we, you know, got a friendship together, and I would talk to him a day. And he said, you know, I'm over in the Warrington area, and, you know, pray for me. I'm starting a church. And he was a great man. And I remember one day people came over to my office and said, Nick, you're the only pastor here. Pastor Rowe has fainted. Would you come over and pray for him? So I went over, and the ambulance was there, and I laid my hands and prayed for him. And he came back a week later. I said, Pastor Rowe, what happened to you? He said, well, a little bit too much Korean food. But anyway, that's another thing. But when I came here, which was probably September of or October of 2004, Pastor Dick asked me, I just want you to come one Sunday and preach. I want people to meet you and know you. So I came here in November, and I'm preaching this message, and I look out, and there's Pastor Rowe sitting in the back there. And after the service, I said, Pastor Rowe, or Pastor No, what are you doing here? He says, this is where my church is. We have a Korean church that meets here in the afternoon. I mean, that was a confirmation for me. I mean, that was God just showing me, Nick, this is where I want you to be. And I found out that he was just on fire for God. And what I would describe Pastor No was a prayer warrior. Him and three or four other Korean people would come here every morning at 5 o'clock and just cry out to God and just pray. They were prayer warriors. You know, we had them here, you know, meeting Sunday afternoons. They got their own place a few years ago, and then he stopped by here one day, and he said, I became an American citizen. And I changed my name from Pastor Rowe to Pastor No, or vice versa. I got it all mixed up. But he was a great guy, and God brings those people in your lives to make a difference for you, to make a confirmation for you. What does your schedule look like? Is your schedule for God just showing up here on Sunday morning, hopefully because someone woke you up, Emmeline? I didn't mean to embarrass you. Or to come here, anything like that. To come to his house, you know what I mean? Is he in your schedule every day? Do you spend time with him in prayer? I'm telling you, the last couple of months has been life-changing for me. Just coming in here early and praying, you know, it's like I have this confidence now that I didn't have before because I had a low self-esteem growing up, you know, with a mom just on you all the time. But do you have prayer time in your schedule? Do you have time for fellowship where you gather around other people? Do you have time for the Word, which is a growing part? That's why we gather for fellowship, grow because of the Word and serving, and we use our gifts, and that's where we go. And really, I think in this generation, in this year 2015, one of the reasons why I feel that we fall short of living fully for Christ is that we've lost the fear of God. We've really lost the fear of God in this generation because we have so much. We've been blessed. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having stuff or acquiring stuff. But when it comes more important in your time with God, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You won't understand what it means to schedule God. The majority of Proverbs in the Old Testament were written by a father to his son to introduce him to God and to equip him for life. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The Word of God is an important word for us, for as believers. It means that we have to have the skill in everyday living. We are to live skillfully the way our Creator designed us to be lived. Fearing God should be the starting point for us. To fear God means that I hold Him in reverential awe. It means I see Him for who He is, the Sovereign King. When I revere God for who He is, I can rightly determine who I am as a believer. Think about it. I want to live my life for Him every day. I want my life to be consumed with God. I want my schedule to be representative of how much I love the Lord. Don't you? What does your schedule look like? So the first two questions of the five today is, how much is your life consumed with God? Number two, what does your schedule represent? Now the third question is going to be way more personal. Way more personal. And the third question is, how much of your budget is set aside for the things of God? How much of your budget is set aside for the things of God? Had a lady come up to me after Sunday school today and say, "Pastor Nick, I'm going to give today. I'm going to go out on a step of faith because I know God wants me to give and I don't think I can afford it. Can you please pray for me?" We need to pray for each other that. Is giving some questions for you. Is giving back to God with the finances that He blessed you with a part of your budget? It's a simple question, but it's a deep question. It's a question you'll have to deal with the rest of your life because when you read the scriptures, you know, they talk about a percentage. What percentage of your income do you think God is telling you to give right now? Is it possible to be a part of a church? Is it possible to be a child of God and not give towards your church home? I'm just asking you that. That's something you have to answer between you and God. Then I thought about two passages, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. He says, "You have robbed God." That's the subtitle of it. And Malachi, "Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." A couple explanation points in there. He's really not messing around, the prophet. And then he says in verse 10, which to me is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible when it comes to giving. He says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. That's powerful. I mean, that's a prophetic word from a prophet of God written with the Holy Spirit going through him to write a verse like that. And I got to be honest with you, when I read that verse this week, I thought of a family here, and I hope I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to do my best to honor you, and that's the Luce family. Thank you. He's being called to Washington State in a couple weeks. They're going to be here. Your family has meant so much to this congregation. Thank you. Seriously, thank you. And when I read that verse, I see, yes, thank you so much. Seriously. I mean, we've been blessed to have you here. I remember back, I guess a year or so ago, we were in a staff meeting, and a knock came on the door, and Pastor Caleb and Elizabeth got up and showed Todd and Susan, the kids, all around the church. All around the church, just showing them everything. And they came back and introduced me to them. And what was the first thing I said? Susan, I love your hair. It's so cute. You know, I'm the spiritual one of the place. You know, I mean, it's just beautiful. But you've meant so much. They're going to be here 2 weeks from now. We're going to pray for them and send them off because they're going to Washington in faith. You know, they have a daughter that just went to Africa to serve. So I think God's in their schedule. I think their life is consumed with God. And I know for a fact their budget involves the things of God. The Apostle Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8. Now I say this, and he's writing to the Corinth people who had all kinds of trouble, kind of like we see today. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's a promise from God's word. I'm not making this stuff up. This is God talking to us. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, not some things, all sufficiency in everything, the Apostle Paul promises us here that you may have abundance in every good deed. Then I wrote some statements down that I like to share. I think they're on the PowerPoint. Giving and receiving in love always forms a bond between the giver and the receiver. You cannot share gifts without sharing fellowship. Giving should not be an irregular or occasional done only when you feel generous or as the Spirit leads. Our giving should not be based on periodical emotional appeals or feelings or on a bonus income, but on a regular, willing, and grateful commitment of our possessions to the Lord, to His people, and to His work. God has saved and blessed Christians so that we can share the blessings God has given with others. No Christian is exempted or excused. We're all stewards. If we call ourselves children of God, guess what? We're stewards of whatever the Lord has given us, no matter how little it may be in economic terms. Jesus said that if we're not generous when we have a little to give, we will not be generous when we have much. If you want to increase your money, share it generously. If you want to lose your money, hoard it. You know, I got the blessing of doing a wedding last Saturday. It was powerful. I mean, 170 people, beautiful setting. Kathy's singing. You know, I got to do the ceremony, and I started the ceremony. And I, out of the corner of my eye, something flew by. And I said, was that a dove? This is going to be a powerful ceremony. I found out later it was two butterflies hatched together flying over me as I started this wedding. It was beautiful, man. God is good. And I always ask in a wedding, what makes a successful marriage? You know, and it's all about your relationship with God and having Him teach you how to love and how to be a husband that loves wife like Christ loved His church, and how a woman should understand and respect and encourage her husband. And I say those things, and I say faithfulness makes a marriage grow, and giving. To me, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I say it at every wedding. And I heard somebody just say, man, I thought about having him do my wedding. Now I don't know. But giving is a key ingredient to your relationship as a married couple. I'm telling you, I could sit here and brag about that girl all day long. And I know it's a faithfulness of giving. It's a faithfulness of praying. It's a faithfulness. And I know that's a lot of doing. But God wants you to do those things because we do them because we love them. We do them because we want to make him our number one, our all in all. Fourth question, how much are you sharing and discipling other people? Right now, are you helping someone grow in their relationship with God? When you read about the early church, when you go, thank you so much. That brand is awesome, man. When you read about the early church disciples, you know, you read through the book of Acts. It's all about the early church. The disciples made and churches multiplied in places the apostles never went. They had courage. Charles Stanley was talking about it this morning. It takes courage to share the gospel. It takes courage to pour into someone and share the gospel with them. The good news of Jesus spread not only through extravagant preachers, but, well, should I say, not through extravagant preachers, but through everyday people whose lives have been transformed by the power of Christ. That's what we long for here. It's not about me. It's not about the leadership here. It's about you all. It's about you being transformed by God and going out and make a difference for them. In the early church, they were going from house to house and in the marketplace and the shops along the street and travel routes, leading people to faith in Jesus on a daily basis. Your schedule is not just Sunday. Your life commitment to him is just not one day a week. Your budget has to include the first fruits of God. And when we disciple and share with other people, I thought about how did the gospel penetrate the world during the first century? In that card I put, through self-denying, spirit-empowered disciples of Jesus who were making disciples of Jesus. That's why we say disciples making disciples. Followers of Jesus were fishing for men. Disciples were making disciples. Christians were not known for their association with Christ and his church. Instead, Christians were known for complete abandonment to Christ and his cause. The Great Commission was not just a choice for them to consider, but a command for them to obey. And I'll tell you, that command is for today, even more today. And though they faced untold, unthinkable persecution like we've been doing in 1 Peter, they experienced unimaginable joy as they joined with Jesus in the advancement of his kingdom. I came here today to tell you, I want to be a part of a movement like that. I don't want to build a kingdom that revolves around my limited gifts and my imperfect leadership. I want to be a part of a people who really believe that we have the Spirit of God in each one of us for the spread of the gospel through us. I want to be a part of a people that are gladly sacrificing the pleasures and pursuits and possessions of this world because we're living for a treasure in the world to come. I want to be a part of a people who have forsaken every earthly ambition in favor of one internal aspiration, to see disciples made and churches multiply from houses to our communities, to our cities, to our nations. And this kind of movement I'm talking about here involves every one of us. Every one of us. Every single follower of Christ fishing for men and women who haven't heard about Christ, who haven't surrendered their life to Christ. Every single disciple making disciples. We don't need any more spectators, man. Christianity is not about being a spectator on Sunday and coming and going and living out your life the way you think you should live it out or the way the world is telling you to live it out. Instead, men and women passionate about spreading the gospel in extraordinary ways all over the world. Men and women from diverse backgrounds with different gifts and distinct platforms, making disciples, multiplying churches through every domain of society and every place on this planet. This is God's design for His church. This is God's design for community Christian fellowship. Disciples of Jesus, and we shouldn't settle for everything else. How do you know what to build on if you don't know what you have in the first place? And I think building, because I wanted to write this out, building and contending for the temple, for the church, involves these things. Being thankful to God, allowing Christ to lead us, letting the Holy Spirit fill us with the knowledge of Him, sharing the gospel because we're the fragrance, sharing the Word of God with sincerity. In 2 Corinthians 2, it says this, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place." What a verse! For we, Community Christian Fellowship, members unified, we're the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the aroma from death to death, the other aroma from life to life. And who is adequate to such things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. And it's hard for me to imagine because I think, man, I can come up here every Sunday and just pour out the word of God, pour out the things the Spirit of God has shown me to give you. But there are going to be people walking out here today not feeling it, not understanding it, not acknowledging it. But they say the Word of God doesn't return void. It might not happen today, but we're going to keep preaching the gospel here. We're going to keep preaching the things of God here. We're going to keep preaching the truth here and let God sort all that out. Let God take the veil away from your eyes. Let the light of the gospel of glory of Christ shine upon you. And that's what happened to us in 1981. That could happen to somebody here today. There might be somebody here today who doesn't have Christ. And can I tell you something? You walk out of these doors and some girl just told me they got a driver's license today. Praise God, I don't mean to embarrass you. You might get run over today. But if you don't know Christ, if you don't have Christ, I did hear a little fender bend. No, I'm only kidding. But if you don't have Christ in your life and you walk out of here, when you die, you're dying for eternity. You're spending eternity in hell. And we spend our lives, man, looking at other people, watching other people, looking for the negativity, allowing the media to tell us that Christians are just homophobic and don't care. And there might be some Christians that way. But we're not going to stand before God one day and give an account. I didn't receive you because I never met a Christian or I never, you know, Christians were bad in my neighborhood. You got to stand before God and give an account for your own life. And you're not going to be able to say, they did that, he said that, she said that. It's going to be between you and God. So you have to make that statement. The last question, how much do your future plans reflect furthering the kingdom of God? Or is just a once in a while Sunday thing showing up? How much does your future plans involve furthering the kingdom of God? Because He gives us that command, go out and make disciples. He tells us to go out to the highways and in byways and invite people to the feast. This is supposed to be a feast today. When you all were singing up today, Pete, you were glowing today. Kathy, you were, I mean, everybody up here was just glowing today. Seriously, it is beautiful. The drummer only has 9 fingers and he's playing better. Praise God. Praise God. George Gilder said this, "Men lust, but they know not what for. They wander and they lose track of the goal." Ever know anybody in those circumstances? "They fight and compete, but they forget the prize. They spread seed and spurn the seasons of growth. They chase power and glory, but miss the meaning of life. And I think to myself, I'm going off track here, but it's been such a blessing playing softball with all y'all. Everybody's come out, the men and the women, we've had such a great time out there. And we hope that we're spreading seed out there. We hope that we're acknowledging Christ by them seeing us praying. And when we play the other churches, we get together and pray. It's a beautiful thing. Even though the number one team was called the Sons of Pitches with a P. Praise God. I love that title. I hope we get to play them in the playoffs. I hope we do, man. Because maybe I could ask some of them, do you know about the real son? Do you know about the son that gave his life and suffered a debt for the payment of your sins? Praise God. Howard Hendricks, great teacher, author, when your memories are more exciting than your dreams, you've begun to die. That's a pretty powerful statement. That Howard Hendricks, he's good. So when we step up and start living for God, our schedule should represent God. Am I right? Our budgets have giving to God as our first fruits will open for us the windows of heaven, and he will pour out blessings that overflow. I see it in my own life, and I give him the glory and honor for it. But I see the blessings come because my schedule, my life is consumed with God. My schedule represents God. My giving and my budget is our first fruits, is for Christ. Will we be sharing and discipling those God has put in our path? We do that here. We orchestrate that here. We encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights, starting September 9th. Ladies are in the morning or at night. And the guys are here Wednesday night. The youth here, the children's here starting September 9th. And we're going to be doing great lessons. We're going to be opening the Word of God just like we do here on Sunday morning at 9:30. What a video today. We'll be sharing and discipling those God has put in our path. We'll be dreaming and moving and allowing His Spirit to move through us, and His church will grow, not only in numbers, because yeah, we want to grow in numbers, but with our hearts and our minds and our plans to be the fragrance of Christ, like the Scripture says, in every area of our lives. We will become a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. You're a teenager here, and you'll have a passion and desire to get together with the teenagers on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and go on great trips and stuff. Don't allow your teenage years to wander away from God. Don't allow your teenage years of saying, well, I don't really fit in there. Because if you don't think you fit in the youth group, can I tell you something? The enemy has won, my friend. The enemy has won. The enemy has won if you don't think you belong in a church. And it might not be this church. We have discipled many people through this place. I don't take the credit for it, but I thank God that I had the opportunity for it. I thank God that I had the opportunity to serve alongside Todd and Susan Luce and their family. I love that. I mean, I'm sad about them going, but I got to tell you, since you texted me, Todd, I've been thanking the Lord. Just for the opportunity to spend time with him. Just the opportunity to listen to him. Just the opportunity to have him pour out the things God has taught him into our lives. And can I tell you something? There's not no one that's not sitting here that can't have the things of God flowing through him. There's nothing that you've done in your life that God isn't ready and willing to use you in a mighty way. And I don't care what you've done in your past. Seriously, I had a Led Zeppelin shirt in high school, man. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what you've smoked, what you drink, what you've looked on the screen. God can take all that trash away and make you a new creation. All you got to do is humble yourself. All you got to do is come forward and say, God, I'm tired of trying to live for this world. I want to live for you, God. And you start giving and serving. I'm telling you, the windows of heaven will open up. And blessings will flow upon you. When this service is over, watch the little kids coming through. Every one of them is a blessing from God. Every one of them is a blessing from God. Praise God. But we're worried more. I'm going off course here. But we're worried more of a killing of a lion if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm saying. Ushers, if you want to come forward. My gosh, I got 10 minutes, man. I got something, but let's pray for the offering. Band, if you want to come up. Pete, whatever you want to play, man. Guys are beautiful. Just remember, the drum set is older than Jennifer. Praise God. God is good. Praise God. Kathy, where'd you get that beautiful scarf, man? Praise God. Thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity just to share these questions, Father. These questions that if we're really examining our hearts, these questions come up every day, Father, every day of our lives. Questions that we should be going and repeating and sharing with people that don't know you, Father. How much is your life consumed with God? How much does your schedule represent God? How much is in your budget represents the things of God? Are you discipling or mentoring or sharing with other people? What are your future plans when it comes to furthering the kingdom of God? Father, I pray that these five questions just penetrate our heart today. Father, I prayed as we give, we prayed every week that you bless the giver in a mighty way, that you throw open the windows of heaven like the prophet Malachi said to those who give, Father. And I know we could spend the rest of the day here because there are many people here that understand that. I know there are many people that could come forward here and share what happens because they sacrificially give with a cheerful heart, Father. So bless those givers today, Father. I just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. After you give, after the play comes down, if you want to stand and just worship with the team here.
My God is mighty to save.
Father, I lift up these teenagers here, Father, at this altar. Father, thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their willingness to come to what I would call the throne of grace, Father. Father, I pray that you pour into them you. Father, I pray that your spirit moves upon their hearts, that they understand what faithfulness means, that they understand maybe what the prophet Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil and bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Father, I pray that they know the difference, Father, that they know the difference between truth and error, Father, good and evil, that they would understand and realize that your word is truth, and we're responsible as parents and as leaders in this church to teach them the truth, to sanctify them with the truth, because your word is truth, Father. Give them a passion and hunger for your word. Give them a passion and hunger as they go back to their school to be courageous and to represent you in every class, Father, that they'll get an A in English for you, that they'll get an A in science for you. They might not agree everything they're teaching there because I can't go there. But, Father, just give them all the grace that they need and mercy to need. Father, we pray that the teenagers here at Community Christian Fellowship will be steadfast. They'll be rooted. They'll be grounded. And it'll understand you, Father. Help them to be obedient to their parents. And all of the parents say,
amen.
Praise God. Help them understand authority. Help them to be mindful of what it means to honor their parents, Lord. Yes. Father, help their parents to pour into things of God into them, Father. I know they've made mistakes. I've made so many mistakes, Father. But we can go on with a fresh slate every day. We get those mercies new every morning, the prophet Jeremiah says, told us, Father. So help us to move into that. Thank you, Father, in your name, Father. Todd's going to come up and close us. Thank you for blessing us by coming up here. We were blessed to have you here.
All right. Good morning. What a great day, and it was really great for Pastor Nick to shift gears there. He gave us a double blessing, two messages, one in writing and one delivered verbally. That's just extra. We're always getting something extra here. This is a great church family, and we are suddenly moving and following God's calling. But we love you. You have loved us, and we felt it. This is a family, this place, and it is a beautiful thing to see the children when they're released here like cattle. They come out here, and they're looking for the lollipops and everything, and the teens and the gray hairs and the people in between. I guess we're all middle-aged now. That's what we hear. We're middle-aged people. It's a beautiful blend, and God has really good plans for all of us. So let's think about those questions that Pastor Nick gave to us today and just really meditate on those things and search the scriptures and seek to honor him in all things. Shall we pray for just a moment? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we could gather here. You brought us here this morning to this place, to this family. It's your family, the family of families, and we want to grow closer to you. And thank you, you gave us a good pastor who has been teaching us faithfully through the scriptures and challenges us with questions that help us to look at our lives and how pleasing they are to you and how they would be led by you in deeper ways and ways that stretch us. And we pray, Lord, as we go from here, we would meditate on that. And the love that we have for you and the love that we have for one another, we would also show to the people around us. Help us to love the people that are around us, to recognize the people that we see or bump into seemingly random, or we work with, that, or our customers, whatever it is, help us to see those as appointments that you have made, and there may be something divinely significant. Help us to be aware of that and to speak the words of life as often as we have the opportunity. Be with us now as we go, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.